The show you are about to listen to is intended for mature audience only. There will be things said that may not be appropriate for younger audience and may offend you. We at Whatever Talk would like to apologize in advance, but really, get over it.
What up, dope folks? Welcome to Whatever Talk, the show where we talk about whatever we seem to be talking about the moment you hear it. I'm your host, Dottie, and I got a guest, a returning, BG Howard. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm stumbling right now in the beginning stages of this, but it's all good.
Hey, that's life, man. That's life. If it wasn't challenging, it'd be boring.
We talking about whatever that's on your mind. Speak your mind. Don't be shy. This is your time to shine.
Yeah. It would be boring. If it wasn't for what we call stupidity, I don't think life would be as entertaining.
Definitely not. I know mine wouldn't.
Exactly. Hey, whether you want to admit it or not, or whatever you want to say about it, what we call niggerdom is entertainment.
Okay. Hey, why complain, right? It's just laugh it off and keep moving.
It is a thin line between entertainment and fear. In this particular case, dinner with niggas.
And you know what? A lot of people laugh because they are afraid.
Hey, laughter is a coping mechanism.
This is true. Whatever it takes to get you through.
Yep. Imagination is everything.
That's key.
Or at least more than what we give it credit for. Imagination.
This is true.
Yes.
Valid point nonetheless.
Yes. So you said you've been good. It's been a minute since I talked to you. I've been missing some of the really dope people I had conversations with. Because I really haven't recorded too much on my own show.
Really?
I've been on not a hiatus. I just ain't been out actually set out and looking for anything outside of the last show I sent you. Probably because I just ain't really just come back. And when I went on vacation right before the latest show that came out, episode 200 with the women that I sent you, I went on vacation about a week after that, and that was about a month ago, and I just ain't really like got into my show outside of just promoting what I got out already. So
it's difficult to get back into the swing of things because when you take that high, I call it a low. You lose the rhythm, and then when you come back, it's like how do I do? You know, it's like
I understand. I didn't per se lose the rhythm. I just didn't just hop back into it. I've been doing editing. I just haven't been doing any recording.
So you're still busy.
Yeah. I've been on. Yesterday I just was a guest on another person's show. So I like being guests. And I have done a couple of my, talking to myself, whatever, talking to myself videos. I did a couple of those, but I do got to manage my time better because I got to get those over to YouTube because those are only on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And so I got to start spreading those around, see if I can get some traffic with those where, somebody questioning, have any questions or their say so about it, hear their perspectives on it and all that stuff. So I just basically gotta start releasing stuff versus just editing all the time.
Okay, so you gotta put the product out there.
Oh yeah. I'm actually recording the last episode you were a part of, Who Are You? Question, Your Brain or Your Soul.
You're right.
And I'm listening to that, editing that right now, and I thought of another thing that can be added to that category of who are you, your brain or your soul. I thought about souls before they became in a vessel we call a body.
Right.
What were they, per se? We have the some concepts of them being angels, what we call angels, being put in to a human's body, and they're living, basically they're living their lives, but not necessarily knowing that they're living their lives, because we don't remember. If that be the case, we don't remember ourselves being anything other than what we are prior.
Okay, I can go with that. However, from what I've read, studied, learned, understand, we are spiritual beings, i.e. Mm-hmm. souls, spirits, however you want to term it. And upon our birth, okay, it's hard. Okay. Think about it from a spiritual standpoint. From a spiritual perspective,
mm-hmm.
it is against God's law. It is against God's own law for a spirit to exist in this realm without a body. Ergo, the reason why God, in the form of Jesus, had to go through the birthing process in order to be here. Otherwise, he would have been breaking his own law. That's why spirits without bodies are called demons, because they're breaking that spiritual law as established by the Creator, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I can get that perspective on that, because when you said that, I thought of these two things. Is that one, what, keep it in on the spiritual side, and according to the Bible, those supposed angels that came to give the word of God, like for instance, I forget which one, at which angel it was, but the one who told, is it David's mom that or David's parent or father that they're going to have be with child? Who was the one who, when they said that the angel struck them to be a mute until the birth of their
No, that was child. That was not David and Mary. That was
Well, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Okay. But the angel, the most prominent angels were Michael and Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gabriel was actually a warring angel. But
that's another thing. Oh, my bad to cut you up, but
no. I'm just trying to, because I got to shift my mind to spiritual mood, because I was somewhere else.
I didn't want to go too deep into this. I just was making a rebuttal of what you just made a statement on. Even the angels that supposedly destroyed the city, who if you turn back, you turn into a pillar of salt. They were supposedly existing in this plane in order for them to do that, right? Who did they have a body?
I'm getting the stories confused. The two angels that came to, there were two angels that came. What? Yes, it was something.
You know what? I think they did have a body. I think they did have a body,
because they invited them in.
Yep.
And the people of the city of the city, the men of the town, you know, young and old, they talked about how they came to that home. And they were talking about, remember the guy said to them, I'll give you, I have my daughter, she's here, she's untouched. Mm-hmm. Never been touched by a man.
That little nigga lied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they refused the daughters because they were more interested in the men.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those were two angels. and they were in, you know, they didn't have bodies.
Because yeah, like yeah, I said, yeah. I recall it now. Yeah, I do recall it. And they still took them daughters, by the way.
Yeah.
Did God walk the earth with Adam, or was it just the voice being heard?
Well, God does not have a per se body. You know, he was in the presence of Jesus, but before then, he was just a spirit. So he is a spirit.
Would the spirits have footsteps? Because they heard footsteps walking through, and it was supposedly God, if I recall right. Okay, never mind that. What about, I guess if you create the rules, you can break them, because God also tempered with free will.
Well, now that goes to another dimension, because see, he made the rules. God made the rules,
mm-hmm.
but he could not break his own rules, because that's the reason why Jesus had to go through the process of being born and raised and so on and so forth as an individual, because Jesus in the form of God in the form of Jesus could not just say, okay, well, I'm going to go down to the earth and fix things. No, he had to have a body. Here go the presence of Jesus.
So God do have to obey rules, even if he do create them, but that still doesn't answer the fact that he broke his rules by tampering with free will.
No, he didn't tamper with free will. That's, you gotta understand.
With the Pharaoh, he made the Pharaoh not give up the slaves on those dummy missions he was sending Moses on.
This is the thing that a lot of people make the mistake of, okay. God knows before you open your mouth what's in your heart. So he knew what was in Pharaoh's heart. What was the reason for him having slaves? What was the reason for him enslaving the Egyptians? Not because he wanted to give them freedom, because he wanted them to be his slaves. So God knew what was in Pharaoh's heart. He just allowed it to happen. Created a situation, or allowed a situation where basically Pharaoh covered, he carried out his own will. So it's still his free will. It's just that, you
okay.
Know.
Okay. Going off the wording of the Bible states that God states that he's going to harden the Pharaoh's heart, meaning that's tampering with free will. Using that God knows that whatever you're going to say or do before doing it, that sounds like a loophole to me to come up with. Well, since he is God, here's a loophole for something, because the book used the words, I'm going to harden his heart, not saying I am God. I know the Pharaoh is not going to give the slaves up. They chose the words, I'm going to harden his heart, meaning that's implying, or at least that's what I got from it, it's implying that he's tampering with the Pharaoh's free will. He's not giving the Pharaoh a choice to come up with the decision if I'm going to give them up or not. I'm just going to make him say no. I'm going to make him not give them up.
Okay, my question, if you're in a tunnel, you can't go right or left. You look up and you see a light coming.
Mm-hmm.
Perceptually, that's the train. If you're going to end up there anyway, what difference does it make how fast you get there? If that train's coming and you can't stop it, you can't run from it. So the end result is you're going to end up dead. So what's the point of delaying the process? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if God knew that that's where Pharaoh was going to end up anyway, was he really tampering with Pharaoh's free will? Or was he just simply, as we would say, egging it along?
Well, that's still tampering, though. Going off the wording of what I read word for word, that's why I state what I stated. But going off what you just said, you're still, it's kind of like what they say, an accomplice. They say, hey, I didn't rob him, but I was with the guy who robbed him.
I just held a gun, right?
exactly. And I was accomplice. So, I guess, and essentially, God has gone off that definition, or going off that, what you just said, that perception. I'm now perceiving it as the same thing as what the devil was doing to Jesus about jumping off this mountain.
That is true.
So, which is basically you're trying to basically bait the kid with candy into the car.
Well, I mean,
you're influencing. You're part of the influence.
I would never be one to claim or pretend that I know. And this is the thing.
Hey, that's why we. That's, you give me a perception. I'm just giving.
No, we're chatting it up. That's fine. Yeah, but I'm saying a lot of the time, we as people, as individuals, we make the mistake of wanting to help God. You know, God was. I kid you not. True to life. I'm in a church service. And the pastor comes out and he goes through this whole process and he gets into his message and his entire message for an hour and a half. He preached about how God intended this and God intended that and God thought this and God thought. And I'm like, the scripture that I study says that no one, in fact, it asks the question, who could know the mind of Christ? Unless you were there and God says, hey, help me scoop up some of the dirt so we can make man. Unless you were there during all that, you don't know what God was thinking. You can think you know. You might from your discernment from the scriptures or whatever you read, you might think, well, yeah, I know what God. No, but you don't. A lot of times, you know, we think that we got this thing pinned down, and we realize that we're further off the mark than we thought we were.
Absolutely.
God's ways are not your ways. Your way and God's thoughts are not your thoughts.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm intrigued with conversation in general. Like, I'm intrigued with your certainty on the matter. That's intriguing to me. I'm down for the story of how you come to this certainty of yours versus we just all thinking this is to be, not actually what it is to be.
You know what? I'm gonna give you something. I had the experience that I had 7 months flat on my back. The report that I've gotten, and I still got information coming and running into doctors and people, but you know, it's been 20 plus years now.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time that I was in the hospital, my body was swollen. You know, you understand the extent of the injury that I had. You know, every major bone in my body except my spine and my ribs was broken. At the point that they could not leave me in a bed. I was in this thing that had my arms, it held my arms and my legs, but I was literally suspended. My body was so swollen. I was disfigured. And I could not inhale. My lungs, I wouldn't expand. So like when you inhale, your stomach, your chest cavity expands. I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yet for 7 months or however long it was, my body is exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide. So I was essentially breathing without breathing. So I'm not a doctor. You know, I go through this experience to this day. I can't explain to you how it happened. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Some things you just got to accept. I'm still here.
Absolutely. And that's the issue with, I think, humanity, period. Acceptance.
This is true.
Acceptance. Like, even with me being intrigued with knowledge and all my theories that I have and that I've come up with just by just thinking about the stuff alone and just doing some reading here and there and thinking some more, you just have to accept that. I think you just have to accept that somebody in me personally, going off all the thoughts that I've been thinking about it, and again, I'm intrigued with my thoughts. I'm not afraid of my own thoughts. I'm not afraid of my own imagination.
That's what I mean.
But I have to accept the fact that I just won't know until.
This is true.
And I think that's what, if somebody had put up a post of, if you can ask God anything and get it, what would it be? I said immortality, eternal youth, and invulnerability. Mm. And I said, I would have left out, I would have asked for wisdom, but I think that will bring the joy out of learning.
Mm. Okay.
And what I thought about that, I was thinking about, man, what was that cat in the Bible who did ask for wisdom?
Solomon.
Yeah, was it Solomon? Yeah, and he came up with the conclusion of, well, hey, cut the kid in half, give her one half, and you take the other half. And when he said that, the one of them went, was like, hold on, whoa, whoa, pause.
Right, your real mother.
Wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute. That will defeat the purpose.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. So go ahead, let her keep them. And that's when he decided, well, hey, well, that's the real mom right there, because only a real mom would rather have her kid live than even be with them.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say, because there's a big difference between, honestly, many people don't realize there's a huge difference between wisdom and knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
You're having wisdom would not necessarily dispel the quest for knowledge, because you can still, if the day you stop learning is the day that you die. That's the way it should be. Because, you know, there are a lot of things that I do know. I'm knowledgeable about, you know, several aspects. Like I said, I write the opinion column for the newspaper. So I have to do a lot of studying and a lot of research. But that has nothing to do with, you know, what wisdom I ask, you know, from God.
Mm-hmm.
And he, in his word, he says, there will never be another man as wise as Solomon.
I don't know. So Solomon kind of went stir crazy or went nuts later on.
Well, I mean,
he became somewhat of a person I don't want to live on the earth no more.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Einstein. And recently I read about a guy, his IQ was like, I don't even know on what scale they use, but his IQ was like 20%, 30% higher than any other person's IQ that's been recorded.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there's a very fine line that separates intelligence and insanity.
I think so as well. But as far as IQ, because I've thought about that before, like what exactly is IQ? I forgot what it stood for when I did look it up. But even if, no matter what it, the I and the Q spells out, it's like, what the heck is that? Like, because Einstein have an IQ, is he smart enough to come up with the dang on thought process of what Solomon just did to get the kid to this rightfully mom?
I'm going
to
give you a situation. Many people are not aware of this because Einstein was so smart. He was so intelligent. But the woman that Einstein eventually married, if I'm not mistaken, I'm hoping I'm getting this right, but if I'm not mistaken, the woman that he eventually married, he met at a bus stop. She came to get on the bus. She left, went about her business, came back hours later, and he's still at the bus stop. So she strikes up a conversation. And why are you still sitting here? Has your bus not come yet? Oh, I'm not waiting for a bus. Well, what are you doing here? I'm trying to get home. He was lost. Einstein had so much intelligence, mm-hmm, until the common sense stuff he couldn't retain.
See?
And that's what that's why I developed the term Einstein stupid. You got so much book sense that erodes your common sense.
Exactly. How are you even surviving to be the age that you are with just supposedly high IQ? Like, you don't have the sense enough to know that you do have to eat and chew it. You have to chew it before you swallow.
That's part of the problem, because you got so much common sense. You got such a high IQ. Like, I'm from Georgia. I think I told you this originally. I'm from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an old man. He was probably, from the time that anybody can remember, he was old.
Mm-hmm.
He probably had a third grade education. Growing up in that community, everybody in that community knew him as Wisdom. They just called him Wisdom. And but like he had a third grade education, but one of the wisest men that we ever met. See, intelligence has absolutely nothing to do with wisdom.
Yeah, that's what I get from that.
So, you know, I pray, and I do, I because the word says if you desire anything of God, ask for it. And I pray, you know, understanding that no one will ever be as wise as Solomon, I ask the Lord to dispense to me a wisdom that is comparable, so as to not make God a liar. I would venture to say, at the risk of being self-serving or self-edifying, mm-hmm. I would say that I have a relatively fair level of wisdom, because I pray for it, I ask for it, and you know, I write one of the things. I don't know if you ever had a chance to do it, but on my website, authorbghoward.com, there's a page called Points to Ponder.
Mm-hmm. I've been seeing them when you be posting them up.
Those are from me. You know, downloaded from God, but those are original philosophical quotes. And I've got pages upon pages upon pages of those things that come to me in the middle of the night when I can't sleep.
Hey, I do somewhat of the similar thing. I call mine, here's something to think about.
Point of fact.
And then I type in what it is that I
talk about. We might be brothers, because yours is here's something to think about. Mine are called Points to Ponder, which essentially means something to think about. So I'll see you at the next family reunion.
It's funny though. I just finished another strategically structured constellation of words that rhyme. I like saying that. But I just finished one, and it's called Thinking. One perspective is it that you can say that I'm coming at people, or not coming at people, but just my thoughts on people are intimidated about thinking, about using their own brain.
Yes, that's frightening. That's frightening. It really is.
It is. It's very frightening. But here's the thing about that I thought about as well, is that thinking, we call it that you need to be thinking, but you're not thinking, but you're not thinking, I guess you could say. Now that I'm thinking about it again, you're not thinking. A thought is not thinking. You just got a thought. And a lot of people, it seems like a lot of people just get a thought and just do, versus getting that thought and thinking about that thought before actually doing.
Well, see, the thought is past tense. So what happens is the thought comes, and as opposed to spending more time thinking or quote unquote pondering about it. See, and that's why my points to ponder is not a passing phase, something I just ran through the space between my ears. That's a thought, but ponder it. That's to contemplate the meaning of what your thoughts entail, so that you don't get lost in what your own head.
But are you essentially? I guess you can't get lost in your own
head. Listen, man,
I get that.
My psychiatrist, I'm paying the man $200-something an hour for him to tell me that I spend too much time inside my own head.
That's where everybody at.
The biggest difference is you and I, we spend time in our own head, inside our own head, but we don't run from what we get. Most people, oh my God, they're petrified.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's one thing I just don't, like, I understand to a degree, but I just don't get, like, why you're afraid of yourself. Because if you're afraid of yourself, then you know what to do to say, right? Not be afraid of yourself. It's kind of like people who be trying to trick their brain into doing something that they think they're not doing. Like, your brain has put that in your head to actually come up with the thought to trick your brain.
You already know the answer to that question before you ask it. You didn't realize it. The point is, as you stated before, we, for the most part, are too afraid to face what we're thinking, our thought, the truth. That's what it comes down to. We run from the truth.
I think people think that whatever they think about, they identify as, because we fear other people's imagination about us for some reason.
Why am I concerned about what you think about me and my thoughts because they have no significant bearing on any important aspect of my life?
Yeah, do you identify with that other person's imagination of you? If not, then why? And even if you do identify with it, lucky guess, it's a stranger, right?
Case in point. True to life, there was a young man when he was younger, when he was smaller, like 3-4 years old. His parents, his family, everybody had this pessimistic view of him. And they repeatedly told him over and over and over, you're never going to be anything, you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to. I think at 16 or 17, he was tried as an adult and went to prison for 25 years.
He was charged as a what?
He committed a crime, he was tried as an adult, and went to prison for 25 years.
Oh, 25 years.
25 years in prison because it was ingrained in him that he would never. Now, on the flip side, another individual...
I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I just I just thought about what I did. Like I got headphones in my ear, and when I say excuse me, say what again? I leaned closer to the phone to you.
I caught that, but I was gonna let it pass. You notice the dramatic pause, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I won't slam you on that one.
That's funny.
But you know, but the thing is, we as people, the nature of who we are as people, we embrace. If you're not spiritually, emotionally, psychologically strong enough, if somebody keeps saying something to you repeatedly, you eventually get to the point where you first start to doubt, then you start to question, then you ultimately embrace the things that people project upon you.
Yep. But I think, go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you was finished. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, if you're strong enough to know, to understand, to realize, this is not me. This is not who I am. And that person is projecting upon me their image, the image of who they think that I am. But that does not make me that thing or that entity. It's like this guy said to me one day, we won't go into the whole conversation, but anyway, he had some crosswords. And he ended with, that's because you think you're better than I am. And
You're right.
I calmly responded. No, I calmly responded. No. The issue is not that I think that I'm better than you are. The problem comes in the fact that you think that I think that I'm better than you are. That's how people try to project their feelings, their thoughts, their images onto you, and then the problem that most individuals have is we embrace it.
I wonder, is that like a physical? Is it a physical form of devil's advocate? Like, cause I think a devil, when people be like devil's advocate or devil's advocate speaking, I'm like, I think that's their way of relinquishing accountability for their own thoughts. It's like you thought of this before, but you're gonna use devil's advocate as to mask the fact that you thought of it before, versus it's just a thought. You know, you have to think of the evil things or what we perceive as evil, as well as thinking of everything else around it. So again, you know that you're not an evil person, and just because you perceive what you thought about as an evil thing, does that thing make you evil? It's just something that you have. If you get the devil in your mind, for one, by using the word devil, then you already got something evil.
Exactly.
Going on, but for you to identify as that said evil thought, knowing that you're not an evil person, then what's the need for the phrase devil's advocate speaking? Just, hey, here's another thought, or here's another perspective.
And see, I'm one of those, many people don't like conversing with me because I'm one of those who will, no, let me pull the curtain back and see what's really back there.
Come on out of here, wizard.
a lot of people don't, they don't, I had I won't call any names, but I had an individual tell me, I don't like talking to you because it makes me think too much.
I told you, people are intimidated by using their brain. They don't like to think about things.
They don't.
Especially being forced to think about it, even though they know they thought about it before. They just don't want to let anybody else know that the thought ran across their mind before.
I would never think about something. I would never think of something like that. You think of stuff all the time, you just won't say it.
Exactly, exactly. And it's okay. Matter of fact, you probably could come to a conclusion something that I'm about to get into as a topic of discussion is, you know, I mentioned imagination is, I think it's everything. It's your livelihood of everything, imagination. I think that's what it is, at least virtually. But I think the dark side of imagination, or what can be considered a dark side, is disconnection.
Okay, yeah.
And that's what I think is happening, is that we disconnect on such an unconscious level on such a frequently times throughout our day that we don't even realize that we're disconnecting with said thing in order to justify in our own mind for it to be okay.
Exactly. See, the thing is, I'll go back to, okay, the point you made, a point a minute ago, it prompted me to think about something. The last time somebody questioned you about something, in 99.9% of the cases, when a person asks you a question, they don't really want your opinion. They don't really want your truthful answer. They are trying to, they want either confirmation or rebuttal of the opinion they've already formulated.
Confirmation, yes.
So, most of the time, especially when I know that it's misdirected or ill-intended, people ask me a question, I go, my answer or my response is whatever you're already thinking. And just leave it at that.
I had that exact thing just happen about a few weeks ago concerning a topic of discussion on the women's episode 200, but I also had it on Challenge Our Beliefs. Matter of fact, one of the titles, I think it's the second episode of Challenge Our Beliefs, is called Women Are Incubators and Currency. And
you get a lot of flack from that.
Of course, because again, what you said earlier about if you're weak-minded and not emotionally stable already, and there's something else you said as a combination of those, you're going to start identifying with what you hear versus you actually being yourself. Because a lot of the times, as far as what you said about the kid who constantly hear this about them and they start to do identify with it. Well, a lot of the times, I think a lot of that identification comes from you just not listening as well. Like, you don't listen to what's being said, the words that's been said. We pick and choose which words out of the statement that we actually want to hear. Let's take for instance. Hey, let's go with NWA. NWA. I don't know. You heard of NWA, right?
Yeah.
They got a song called
Bitch is a Bitch.
In between verses, it got like some dialogue between Ice Cube and this chick. She was like, who you calling a bitch? A bitch? And they're like, I ain't no bitch. And he was like, I ain't say you was a bitch. I said, stop acting like a bitch.
Nah.
And that's what we don't hear. We don't listen to what's being said. In fact, we listen to more how something is being said versus what's being said.
Exactly.
And we take out the word act. Like, I'm not calling you a bitch. I'm saying you're acting like a bitch. And you know for a fact that you know without a doubt that you know how a bitch acts, because you be calling other bitches bitches because of the way that you're acting right now, but you want to take the word act out of it as if I'm calling you it.
Right. You want to assign that. People transpose. And see, there are a lot of people who hear, but they don't listen. Or in the case of the fact that they listen, but they don't hear. So what you're saying, and one of the
things... Anywhere go, you're not listening with comprehension.
Exactly. So, my phone. You actually can listen, but not hear, or hear, but not listen. A lot of times when I have conversations with individuals, especially if it's, you know, a matter of tension or or controversy, one of the things I start out with, I pray, Lord, let what's being said be what's being heard, and what's being heard be what's being said. Because you know what?
I know.
from my mouth to your ears, the enemy can get involved and just screw up the whole conversation.
Oh my goodness, boy.
So you have to be able to, you have to be able to resolve those issues before they ever crop up, because otherwise you might get caught up in a tangent about something that, or the way something was said, and never get to the point of your conversation. We can spend an hour on the phone or an hour on this podcast and never get to the point of why we were talking in the first place.
And not get anywhere.
Exactly.
All because you're fixated on the word that you're refusing to acknowledge.
Did you hear me say that?
Act. Like, you're refusing to acknowledge the word act. And we ain't getting nowhere because you acting.
We internalize stuff. We have a tendency to internalize stuff. And why are you talking about me like that? I wasn't talking about you like that. I was saying you act like.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's when, that's why I state often that when I make the choice to converse with someone, no matter what I've already have in an assumption in my head about said person, or even if I know this said person already, I'm still making the choice to converse with them, and I'm trusting that they're not intentionally saying anything to hurt me.
True.
Meaning that even if it was a supposed mean thing, that I'm not going to take it as the supposed mean thing, at least not directed towards me. I'm listening to what's being said. Like my dad, for example, this regular conversational voice, like how we're doing right now, is loud. Like he sounds like he's on a megaphone.
He's just voiceless.
Yeah, that's just how he talks. He's just a loud talker. Now, people will listen to Pops and they will completely lose all cognitive, all comprehension skills, all because they're paying attention to how he's saying the message versus listening to the actual message. So what if he's yelling at you about something right now? You know this person is a loud talker. You ain't even got to know that this person is a loud talker to know that this person is a loud talker. Just
right, you
overhear this person talking. You would know that this person is a loud talker.
You know that.
Exactly. So why are you taking what's being said to a personal level? And on top of you taking it to a personal level, I doubt that it really is personal. You just witness or taking in that somebody is yelling something to you versus listening to what's being yelled.
That's another issue with people, because we have a tendency to internalize. We have a tendency to internalize everything. And like you said, it may not even have anything to do with that individual personally, directly. But because we hear, as you said, acting like, we remove that part. And we go to the, I call it the meat of the matter, what we think is the meat of the matter. Oh, and you're saying I'm this. No. I know what I said. You're saying that I'm saying that you're this or that. See, that's because of your own issues, insecurity, whatever you want to call it. But it's something that you're internalizing and you're projecting onto yourself and accusing me of it.
I'm a stranger. How did I know that you had this issue? If you don't have emotion control, you don't need to be conversing. You don't need to be making the choice.
No, to you converse don't need to leave your house.
Anybody.
You don't need to leave your house.
You don't need to leave your house. You don't need to leave your house. But seconding that or piggybacking off that, yeah, you don't need to be making the choice to continue conversing with anybody who made the choice to converse with yo. Supposedly negative self,
no, I mean,
or positive self.
It's something that, as far as I'm concerned, it would call into question your intelligence level, your level of intellect. But I'll straight tell people I refuse to have this conversation with you, because generally my conversing with anybody requires a minimum intelligence. There's a minimum intelligence requirement. You just called me stupid? No. You called you stupid. I disagree with you.
Like, this is how you're taking it. You're taking exactly. it to be stupid
because why? Because we internalize.
Exactly. You refuse to hear what's actually being said, so you reply to an imply.
Exactly. You project this onto yourself because you don't want to accept accountability. You point fingers at everybody else.
Uh-huh.
But listen, I know you told me initially that you were pressed for time.
Yeah, get to your book real quick before we head out. Because you said you had is it a sequel to the latest book?
I almost forgot about the book. Yeah, we get these conversations, man, and I lose my train of thought. I lose all sense of rationale, and I'm just off in the doctrine world.
That's the side effect to dope, genuine conversation. That's the side effect to dope, genuine conversation.
Well, I'm going to capitalize on the moment that you're allowing me to excuse myself from the conversation because I do have quite a bit to do before I get prepared for my next session. But the follow-up, you remember the original or the revised edition?
Mm-hmm.
That one. And I thank everybody who purchased and read and commented because I've gotten a good result from that. This is Family Ties 2, Blood Covenant. This is the continuation of that story. It's the conclusion. And I've gotten several people, is it going to be a third? No. There will not be a third. Well, let me rephrase it. There are no plans at this moment for a third installment. Well, actually, it will be the fourth installment. I'm working on another one. The next one is going to be Undercover of Life. Something that I wrote years ago, but I never actually, because I started pursuing the publication of the others, so I never actually got through with it. But anyway, that's another story for another time. That'll give us another occasion to speak again. But
Oh yeah. We ain't gotta have no excuses to talk to each other.
is that the reason why you?
We could talk to each other anytime. But I was gonna say about how you said there's no next installment of Family Ties. I'm a huge advocate of don't drag on things. Like I look forward to a dope conclusion. If you give me a conclusion, I want that. Like I don't want it to go on a long period of time just because
23 episodes. What was it? Friday the 13th. There was one called Final Chapter.
Yep, and it was like five more after the final chapter. And then Jason goes to hell.
How many ways can you hit somebody in the head with a hatchet? Seriously. And then Fast and the Furious, what are they, like number 7, 8, 9 now?
I think 27.
How many ways can you drive a car fast? You put your foot on the gas, know where the brake is, and keep it between the lines. Duh.
It's going to turn into Star Wars because I think it was the latest one. They went to space in the car that Back to the Future drove. Dope conversation as usual. Like I love the conversation that comes from us. And then like you said just a moment ago. I mean, I get on here and I forget what I was originally about to talk about. We came here for because.
I'm like, forget about the book.
Genuine conversation, man. Just genuine conversation.
And you know what I like about it? You have no scripted verbiage. You have no scripted plan. It's not even. We just started when we came on. We just rolled into conversation, and one thing led to another, just like conversation.
Exactly. You ain't trying to convert me into your guy. You believe in. I ain't trying to convert you into the guy that I don't believe in.
Listen, this is the one that really ties my underwear in a knot. You're having a conversation about something that is supposed to be based on established in love. So how does it turn into an argument?
Miserable people. That's all they know.
And that's the reason why I won't have that conversation with people. Unless, like somebody like you, we distinctly disagree. But not one time have you said you have not said one cross word to me, nor are you. It's a casual conversation where two people are genuinely interested in gleaning from one another. I want to understand why you think what you think. You want to understand why I think what I think.
That's all. If you don't mind sharing that, then share it. And there's no need for you to yell it.
I mean, you know, and
it's unless like, you talk like my dad, unless you talk like my dad, there's no need for you to be yelling it. Why you like what you like?
another one of my choices is philosophies. If you say something, and I either A, don't want to hear you, B, dismiss you, C, don't care, generally don't care. My question: what is the benefit of you saying it louder? There's no point.
You can just walk away.
Ah, you know, just funny thing. I did that to someone. Last week, and he was just, you know, refused to let me get a word in Adrian. I said, you know what? Watch this. Watch this. Pay attention. Watch this. I stood there for a couple of seconds, and I just turned and walked away. And he was like, where are you going? I'm not finished. Well, I am. People only have as much control over you as you allow them.
Like I said earlier on before, I'll give anybody a shot at conversation at least once. Can probably learn or get some insight from what we deem a crazy as well. We do it all the time. A lot of our education come from nuts. Like you said, Einstein. You just said Einstein was brought up earlier. That nigga nuts.
Okay, for real.
But at the same time, I don't argue either, but I let this, not an argument, but I let it prolong for a purpose. Like the latest episode of Challenge Our Beliefs is called, it's episode 6, This Nigga Here. But I already have my assumptions about what this cat already prior, because he's been dodging conversation for months, and he just kept, you know, all his stuff would keep coming to my feet. And of course, I can do what anybody else claimed they would do, but they don't. Just keep scrolling.
Right.
But just like everybody who does make a comment, or this again, I'm not thinking anybody. This goes for comments or social media as well. If I choose to engage, I'm trusting that the person is not intentionally trying to hurt me as well. But again, I think that I'm wise enough to know that you're being retarded right now. This cat came in. You didn't notice it at first, but he came in with the mindset like most blind followers do, what I call them, believers, do, with the mindset of an argument already. I find it amusing that you can quote scriptures and tell anybody else who's not a believer how much they need to be a believer, but you can't converse with anybody outside of another believer. That's highly amusing to me.
So basically, you just dispelled your own.
I find that highly amusing to me. But what happened was is that he kept talking and not allowing me to get my perspective out. And it turned into a bunch of, man, come on, can you let me speak?
It turned into a whole
bunch of that.
It wasn't man, come on, it was this nigga here.
Yes, towards the end of that, I was like, this nigga, man, like, bruh, like, bruh, like, come on, like, dude. I tried to get it out, what I'm about to say now. But he just kept yapping, and it threw what I was trying to get out of my head. So, but I let it go on to prove, or not to prove, but to add to my theory of what I just said, how you can quote scripture and tell everybody else who's not a believer how much they need to believe, but you can't converse with anybody outside of another believer. Like, I did that to add on to that theory to, like, listen to this. Like, I'm not yelling, I'm not arguing with this cat, but you're coming on with the aspect of trying to rile up an argument versus listening to what somebody else have to say about the situation.
He's being belligerent.
Oh, yeah, he was straight. And I told him, I was like, dude, you're really showing how retarded you are. You're really showing how much of a conversation you can't have with another person, period.
Ignorance.
You're showing so much ignorance right now, all because of I'm a non-believer, and in your head, a non-believer don't need to be talking to about what it is that we're talking about right now. Like, that makes no sense. How are you going to actually convert somebody if you don't talk to a non-believer to convert them into something?
Well, and the thing about it, the example that he's providing, you'd walk away from that going, if that's what believing, if that's what being a believer is, I don't want to buy it.
Exactly. That too. That too. Because he even stated that you a non-believer. You keep my God's name out your mouth. I mean, you don't know his name. You just say, I am.
The biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes we make, we think we got this thing all figured out. We got it all wrapped up. Well, everything that God said is true, but it doesn't apply to me.
Hey, that's why I'm intrigued. That's why I'm intrigued with your certainty on the matter. That intrigues me.
My certainty
on the matter? No. I'm just saying in general with people, with conversation itself.
Right. But that's what he really said. My certainty on the matter can be summed up in one word. Faith.
Faith. Oh! And that's a non-believer who knew that. Faith.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You've asked me a couple of times about where I am, my position in how I feel, what I believe. Not one time did you rebut what I said. Not one time did you tell me, well, that's not true. Or you shouldn't think that yet. I feel the way I feel, I think what I think, I believe what I believe because of where I've been and the things I've experienced. And for the same reason, you feel the same way about what you feel, what you've done, what you've been through, what you've experienced. So who am I to drag you by the neck and say, hey, come, kicking and screaming, I'm taking you to church, or I'm going to preach this gospel.
Hey, man. People with no emotion control and that disconnection that they refuse to
acknowledge.
Yeah, acknowledge the same thing as refusing to be aware.
Life is simple. Life is very simple. People are the ones too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I don't like people.
All for the sake of drama, because this is who they claim not to be, even though.
But how can you do that?
This is who you are. If you don't have emotion control, this is exactly who you is. That you, this person who don't have emotion control, who will let anything hurt their feelings, even though the people who hurt their feelings just found out that they exist the moment they hurt your feelings.
back to scripture. Scripture tells us the directive to live in peace.
Thanks for listening to this episode, folks. It was a dope conversation.
Always.
Shout out to you, BG. Thanks for coming back on to converse with your mans.
Thanks for having me. I enjoy it. Anytime.
Awesome. To my family, me love y'all a whole bunch of kind. Until the next time, whatever. Your mama.
Hey, don't touch my mama.
If you would have made it this far, but then you made it to the end of the show, you can stay posted, but we gotta go. But wait a minute. Leave a comment, tell us what you think about it. Come again, tell a friend, tell whoever listening. Whatever talk.